You ever said anything you wish you could take back? Sometimes I wish I could take it back immediately. I mean, it just got out there, and I wish I could just put it back in. But it's impossible to take those words back. It's just like trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. It won't work. It can't happen. Many times our parents told us when somebody said something to us at school, many times our parents would say, "Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you." The only problem is that's not true. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will break your heart. One of these days, I'm going to be brave enough to take a sampling. My personal opinion is, and I almost did it today and I chickened out, but my personal opinion is that if I were asked you to think about the three worst things that ever happened to you, if I would ask you to think about the three worst things that would ever happen to you, my guess is that most of you would include one that had to do with what somebody said. Out of the three worst things that ever happened to you, I think most of us would say, somebody said something that really hurt me. And words work the other way too. Many of you, life has been changed by something somebody said. Somebody just gave you an encouraging word, and it made a difference in your life. You heard me probably a year ago now tell about when I was in some kind of school play. I don't remember anything about the play. I don't remember anything, but I do know I was really getting in it. I mean, I was in the part. Boy, I was there. And I was saying my part and shutting my eyes and putting on and all that stuff, and the teacher said, "You don't have to do all that funny stuff. Just say the part." I still remember that. It hurt then, and it still hurts. I took swimming lessons one time. Never was a good swimmer. I learned all the techniques, but I had one little problem. I'm scared of water. It is hard to learn to swim very good if you're scared of water. So I know all what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not a good swimmer because I stay tensed up. You can't relax. Now my dad could just relax and float. I mean, he didn't do anything. He'd just float. I never could do that. I tense up. And when you tense up, you sink. Whether you're going through the right motions or not, you still sink. But anyway, I took swimming, and I don't know how old I was, probably 10, 11, 12, I don't know, but young, just a child, took swimming, and the instructor said, in my swimming, I had strong legs. My legs were strong. I remember that. As a teenager, when I started lifting weights, I did go through a period of weightlifting. I was very concerned to make my legs, because they're already strong. I can just do a little work and make them stronger. Okay? It's just something somebody said. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. And the more we talk, the more chances are we're going to say something that we wish we had not said. Sometimes, as a preacher, I say something that I wish I hadn't said. I wish I'd have said it differently. You probably won't believe this, but last Wednesday, every week, Jason puts on our website, SmyrnaChristianChurch.org, puts my sermons on my website on the website. Some of you can't. Your computer won't play it. Some of you will. But I played my sermon on my iPod last Wednesday as I was doing my exercise. So I listened to my own self preach. I wasn't too impressed. You know, almost every sentence, I said, "This, you could have said that better. There was a better way to do that. There was a better way to say that." How many of you have ever listened to your recorded self and say, "That doesn't sound, that doesn't write, that doesn't sound like me"? But anyway, those sermons are available. So just in case you missed church any Sunday, you can still listen to my sermon. And I'm sure he'll have a lot of hits this week because you want to listen to this one again. Anyway, words are powerful. Words are powerful. Not every word you speak makes a difference, but you never know which ones will. You never know which ones will make a difference. And so I want to share with you a few scriptures that talks about the importance of words. And one or two of those scriptures kind of bothers me. I mean, they just kind of hit home and stomps on your toes and your foot and your whole deal. And you said, "Man, I wish that wasn't there. I wish that scripture wasn't there, because that one is kind of tough for me." But I'd prefer you to look them up in the Bible, but just so you can read them, I'm going to ask Jason to put them on the board. The first one is James chapter 3, a part of what we read a minute ago. And very interesting, that passage we read talks about if a person can control his tongue, he can control his whole body. So tongue, controlling your tongue is a challenge for all of us. Controlling your tongue is a challenge for all of us. And we hurt people. I've known parents whose aim in life was to help their kids. I mean, they wanted their kids the very best for their kids. And they believed in the principle of continual improvement. So no matter how good their kids did, they always encouraged them to do more. Always encouraged them to do better. Kids come home with 6 A's on the report card and 1 A minus. And they said, "Why don't you work on improving that A minus?" And for the parents, they were saying, "We involved in this continual improvement. I always need to be better." But for some kids, you know where it came across? "I never satisfy mom and dad. Not ever. No matter how good I do. No matter how good I do, they want to do better. They want me to do more. I don't care what I do." Now, I agree with the principle of continual improvement. I think that's a great principle, that I'm always trying to improve myself. But we need to be careful in teaching our kids that we don't teach them in such a way that they think we're never pleased with what they do. I find as a parent, it is very difficult to have that right balance. I either make the mistake of giving them too much credit. You know, I give them credit for something when they didn't do anything because I want to praise and encourage them. Linda has a friend that says they want to prepare their kids for success. So, that you want to help them, so you praise them up. But if they didn't do anything to praise them up about, you're lying to them, right? So sometimes we run off the road on that side. We praise them when there's nothing to praise them about. But most of the time we run off on the other side by continually correcting them and always saying, "This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong." And the child wants to know, "Have I ever done anything right in my whole life? Have I ever done anything? I never satisfy them. They always want more. They always want me to do better." And so as parents and as teachers and just as people, we need to be careful of our words. The passage we read in James is fascinating because I believe God called me to be a teacher. I believe that's what God wants me to be. And it doesn't happen very often now, but used to almost everywhere I preach, anywhere, people would go to the back door and they said, "You are more of a teacher than a preacher." I mean, it just happened to me over and over and over and over. I thought it was a compliment. But anyway, but I think God called me to be a teacher. But what does James 3:1 say? "Not many of you be teachers because you're going to be judged more strictly." Words are important. James 3:5 from that passage that we read, "So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? You see sometimes on TV these great forest fires out west, California and all that stuff. And they say somebody forgot to put out a campfire. Or somebody threw out a cigarette. What this text is trying to say, it doesn't take much of a fire to get that big deal started. Just a little bitty one. Just a little bit. And it doesn't take a whole discourse to destroy somebody. Just a few words will destroy them. And we never know when those words are going to hit home. Not ever. And I want to tell you as a preacher, sometimes people get upset at what I said, and I don't understand why. I just don't understand. They come back and say, well, you said this, and that bothered me. And I don't know why it bothered them. I can't figure that out. Sometimes I can say, yeah, I understand. I'm sorry if I'd have looked at it from your perspective. I read a book by Stephen Covey one time, and he was big on paradigm shift. Did I say that word right? Paradigm shift. And he told a story about being on a subway in New York City, and some guy got on there with three or four little kids, and they were all over the place. They were interrupting everybody. I mean, they were making a mess, and the other passengers on the subway got mad and upset. And finally, one of them just went up to the dad and said, "Why don't you control your kids? Those kids are driving me nuts. Why don't you control them?" And the man said, "I'm sorry. We just left the hospital, and my wife and their mother just died. And I just wasn't thinking about how they were acting." See, that's a paradigm shift. Let the kids misbehave. I don't care now. Right? I don't care. Man, what they've been through, I'd probably be worse than they are. And so many times when we say things, and I want to put this in the right context. I want to say, I'm just not talking to you. I'm talking to us, which includes me. Okay? Many times when we say things, it doesn't seem that bad from us, from our perspective, but from their perspective, it is bad news. And so I need to try to sometimes understand. Not everybody sees things the same way. Not everybody's in the same place in their life. So I need to be careful of my words. And I needed this sermon, so I'm preaching it to you. My guess is you probably need it too. My guess is you probably need it too. So also the tongue is a small part of the body. And yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? One little match, and you can set the whole forest on fire. You don't have to have a big fire to start with, just a little fire. You don't have to have a lot of words to start with, just one or two will destroy people. And we are so careless with them. And again, I want you to understand, I'm talking about us, not just you. I'm not saying, I got it. This is what you need to do. I already got it. I'm saying, I'm in the same position. I have trouble of sometimes just saying things without thinking about how it affects other people from their perspective. Hey, how it sounds like to them. It is the same words. But from my perspective, it's one way. From their perspective, it's another way. I mean, the kids on the subway were still misbehaving, right? There was no difference. But there was a world of difference in how I thought about it when I saw it from their perspective. I'm not even sure. It is a temptation. You ever been tempted to correct somebody else's kids? Well, that's a dangerous slope. You got to be careful there. But sometimes I'm tempted to do that. But had I been on that subway, I may have been tempted to correct them before I heard the real story. But I probably wouldn't have said one word to them once I knew what had happened in their life. And there are probably 85 people here this morning, and every one of you have a different life perspective. And what I say to some of you may be meaningful. I hope it is. What I say to some of you may have no impact. You just totally ignore me. I hope that's not most of you, but it may be true. But something I may say may hit some of you and say, he was talking about me. I've had people, no bigger churches than I preach in, I've had people go to the back door and accuse me of peeping in their windows. What you said this morning hit me personally. It was where I'm living. It's what's going on in my life today. And you see, many times I had no idea what they were talking about. None. In the few cases I found out what they were talking about, and it wasn't my point at all. I mean, I did say it, but that wasn't what I was trying to say. What they heard because of their background, because of what's going on in their life. And I'm trying to share together with us today, me and you, that we need to be careful of our words because they are powerful, powerful things like a fire. They can have an impact. They can have a lifelong impact for good or for bad. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. And you said, Lee, I thought you loved the Bible. You believed every word there, and you think, oh, well, it's correct, and I'll never, not an error in there. I believe all that. I believe all that. I don't think there's a mistake in the Bible. I think everything there is because God put it there. I think God has directed and controlled it. What we have is God's word. But Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, I just kind of wish wasn't there. Okay? 12:36 says, but I tell you, and who's speaking? Somebody tell me. Jesus. I tell you that every careless word people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. I want to go hide under the bed. Every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Just wipe away the rest of my life. The last month, I'm already in trouble. You know? Just the last few days, every careless word, I'm going to give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. You know, sometimes I accuse other people of explaining away Scripture. I wish I could find a way to explain that one and say, he didn't really mean that. He meant something else. I can't find any way to explain it away. I can't find anything. Well, he was just talking to the Jews before the crucifixion. No, he was talking to all of us. Every careless word, I'm going to have to give an accounting. Words are powerful. And I need to be more careful in how I use them. Fire is not a bad thing, but it can be a bad thing if I misuse it, right? Words are not bad things. They can be good things. But when I misuse them, and I think the problem is the word careless, every careless word. I haven't thought about what I'm saying. I just see it from my perspective. And when I just see it from my perspective, I don't understand what impact it has on your life. The next verse says, for by your words you will be justified. Paraphrase that, saved. By your words, not works, words, you're going to be justified. By your words you will be condemned. This is almost like saying, we don't have to even count all those other sins you committed. We can just throw them away. Just take a record of your words, and that'll wipe you out. Because you've said things you should not say. And every one of us, every one of us are guilty. And sometimes it makes it even worse that we're guilty and we don't even care we're guilty. So I hurt your feelings. So what? Toughen up. Don't be so thin-skinned. You know, this is the real world. By your words, you will be saved, and by your words, you will be condemned. How many of you are going to go home and write that verse and put it on your mirror as an encouragement? You know, I put on my mirror, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I read that, boy, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm probably not going to put up there, by my words I'm going to be saved and by my words I'm going to be condemned. Probably need to put it up there to remind me, pay attention to what you say, boy. And even though I talk for a living, I'm really a quiet person. I was amazed. I went home several months ago and visited a church that we don't normally. In fact, we had never been there, that church. But I went to that church and met somebody that I was in elementary school with. She remembered me. I did not remember her. That wasn't good either, but I didn't remember her. But anyway, she was talking about me in my presence. We're talking about that we knew each other in school and all that stuff. And she said to somebody else, well, Lee was a pretty good boy, except he was really shy. He was really shy. Elementary school. I didn't think I was shy in elementary school. But that's what she remembered. And it hadn't been a month ago. I was in somebody's presence and everybody was talking and I wasn't saying anything. And they said, you don't say much, do you? But I want to tell you, based on today's sermon, I say enough to get me in trouble. You know, I wish I could cut back on some of the things I do say. And I have a hard time. I taught myself, or somebody else taught me, whatever. I taught myself to speak in public. I still get nervous every time, but I taught myself to do that. I never have taught myself to speak socially. I don't know what to say in a social situation. I mean, when you're supposed to be talking, but you ain't got nothing to talk about. If I got something to say, I can tell you what I want to say. But if we just supposed to be talking about the weather, the ball game, or whatever, I had some people invite me out to eat. We were at a funeral, and they invited me out to eat after the funeral. And I sat there the whole time and didn't say anything because they were talking about football. You know how much I know? And they were talking about college football, not professional football, college football. You know how much I know about college football? Zero. I mean, I don't know anything about it. You know? And so there was no way for me to participate in the conversation. But that's okay with me. That doesn't bother me. Just sit down and listen to them talk. I'm okay. That's all right. I don't have to talk. Completely satisfied being quiet. In fact, most of the time when I talk, I get myself in trouble. So I'm better off not talking. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Laying aside falsehood, speak truth. Don't lie, tell the truth. Don't lie, but tell the truth. Shelly, that's first grade level. Yep, that's first grade level. What difference would it have made in your life had everybody always told you the truth? I don't have to be a scholar to know that, but I have to be a saint to do that. Just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Every relationship is based on truth. Husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, work relationship, church relationship, is all based on truth. Don't lie, just tell the truth. Colossians 3:8. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. So what does the Bible say I'm supposed to do with all that stuff I've been saying? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Just put it aside. Stop doing that. I told you last week, I think it was last week, I told you, I'm not a counselor. I'm a Bible teacher, not a counselor. And I want to tell you the difference in when somebody comes for counseling and you're not a counselor, if you're a Bible teacher. When they come to me for counseling, I assume that every problem they got came because of sin. Every problem they got came because of sin. Most of their problems became because of their own personal sins. And so I don't spend a lot of time. Let's talk about what your dad said to you when you were 4 years old that affected you all your life. I don't talk about that. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about what's going on in your life now. And most of what the problems you have now are because of your sin. And so you need to recognize it is a sin, and God says you need to get rid of it. Get rid of it. Repent of it and replace it with Holy Spirit-inspired action. So most of the time, if somebody comes to me for counseling, one or two counseling sessions is all we need. I don't need to counsel them for a year. Just find out what the sin is that's causing your problem, and let's deal with that sin. Most people don't want to do that. Most people want to blame everybody else. What I need to deal with is what bothers me. I need to get rid of abusive speech. Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Let no unhealthy word. No unhealthy word. No destructive words. I was looking at Huckabee last night, and Huckabee was promoting a film that's coming out March the 30th about kids in school bullying each other. Anybody know what I'm talking about, bullying? And somebody's made a whole film on it. And Huckabee was promoting it, trying to get you to see it and all that stuff. They were also trying to get it to be rated differently because whoever rates them rated it R. And he don't want it rated R because he wants kids to go see it. But kids just making fun of other kids. Hurting, destructive words. And he was saying that there are a number of kids over in America that have committed suicide because somebody at school bullied them. In this particular film, they also hit them and all that stuff. But a lot of times it's just words, nothing else. Just words. And Mama says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But I'm going to hang myself because I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. Get rid of all unwholesome words that proceed from your mouth. But only such a word as is good for edification. Anybody know what edification is? Building up. So I don't use words to tear people down. I use words to build people up. Only such a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that you give grace to those who hear. Most people already get enough criticism. They need some encouragement. There are times for criticism, but most people need somebody to encourage them. Several weeks ago, I taught you how to remember the Ten Commandments. Anybody remember what the third commandment was? Of the Ten Commandments, anybody remember what the third one was? Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Anybody remember what the ninth one was? Maybe I need to teach him over. Lying. Got it? You got it. All right. So that's two out of God's top ten. Two has to do with words. Out of God's top 10 commands, two of them has to do with words. I'm not sure. I don't remember. I don't remember all that I preach now. I don't think I've ever preached very much about that. I've preached through James, so I know I've talked about it. But I'm not sure we've ever talked very much about, man, we need to be careful of our words. We just need to be careful of what we say. If a man can control his tongue, he can control his whole body, according to James. So I guess I'm not thinking I'm going to ever be perfect. What I'd like to do is just improve a lot. I'd like to get better, not blow it so often. Use words not to tear people down, but to build them up. Words are powerful. Two of God's top 10 laws had to do with words. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, and confessing has to do with your words, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father. Paul said that if you confess with your mouth, that's words, right? If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Words are pretty important. Words are pretty important. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, if I understand the passage right, God struck them dead immediately because they told a lie. God struck them dead immediately because they told a lie. And see, you and I want to say, well, it's just words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. If you're Ananias and Sapphira, you have a different perspective. Okay. Words make a world of difference. And you and I, me, I need to learn that. I need to pay attention that when I say things, it has the potential of hurting people. Not everything I say is that powerful. But sometimes it is. And I don't know which one it's going to be. It's like shooting in the dark. I don't know whether there's anybody out there or not. I don't know whether there's anybody out there or not. If there was a wild animal in my neighborhood and the dark of night was dark, I had a rifle. And I was pretty sure he was over there in the bushes. But somebody said, you know, everybody in the neighborhood is looking for him. There may be somebody else over there. There may be a person, not that animal. I think I'll just shoot anyway, just in case it's the animal. Don't we do that with words? Just shoot anyway. Just say it. That's what I feel. If I feel it, I might as well say it. Right? No, I need to be careful. Words are powerful. And I think that Lee Delbridge needs to listen to his own sermon again this week. And my guess is you do too. I think all of us have become careless with our words.